your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello, folks. This is Paula T. Webb. As in every week, bringing you the best of the best in trading psychology. Actually, we are bringing you the best of the best in the new age of trading psychology. And we are happy to be hosted by 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be. So just a reminder, guys, thank you to those of you who have signed up for our upcoming workshop in January. Again, this is a joint workshop between Larry Pesavento. He's one of the hosts on TFNN.com, Tiger TV. He does a daily broadcast with market commentary. And Larry and I go way back to when I was an infant. Basically, that's how long we've been friends. And again, Larry and Mark Douglas and I were the first people to host live trading workshops with a money-back guarantee back in the 90s. And of course, we always made money. So Larry and I are going to be hosting another one of these live trading workshops, January 26, 27, 28, 2025 in Scottsdale, Arizona. So if you have questions about that, send me an email, pick up the phone, call me, and we'll get your questions answered and get you signed up. It's going to be a really dynamic, intensive workshop, and I'm looking forward to it. I love working with Larry. Okay, so thanks to you all who wrote in this past week about last week's show, and I guess I wasn't very clear. So let me just kind of clarify what I was talking about last week. The overall premise of the segment last week was that if you have any type of relationship or relationships in your life that are uncomfortable, let's say, I'm not going to use the word negative right here because that's up to you to determine if it's that low. But let's just say you have any kind of relationship that's not perfect. You're not happy with it to whatever degree that you want to be happy with it. It doesn't matter if it's about money. And so I think that's where I wasn't clear last week, because my example was about someone who, you know, ripped me off and owes me money. So, and that was what was affecting my trading. But it wasn't about the money. It was about the fact that I knew this person for, I want to say, over a decade, and never had a problem. He's a jeweler. You know, I trusted him with my jewelry, which is strictly sentimental. There's no, you know, crown jewels or anything like that. But, you know, when you have sentimental jewelry for women, it's a big deal. And maybe for you men, I don't know. It may be that way. But I know, especially for women, we don't want anything to happen to that jewelry. And if we have to take it in for a repair, we certainly don't want it coming back damaged, as in my case, or with being replaced by fake stones. And so this was a man that I met, a jeweler that I met, and I trusted him for 10 years. And this past year, it's been nothing short of a disaster. And it finally got to the point where I had to stand up to him and say, hey, you know, you owe me this amount of money. And that's all there is to it. Now, he came back and he tried to soft sell it and say, oh, you know, with our history, and I don't want you to hate me, and I don't want you to give up on us. You know, we're such friends. And the point is that I had asked him to meet with me and bring all of the jewelry of mine that he had in his possession. And when he met with me, he did not bring my jewelry. So when he was trying to convince me that he cared, the bottom line was that he was holding my jewelry hostage until I agreed to drop, not the suit, because I'm not suing him, but drop the issue of him owing me money. And that was his fatal mistake. So this past week, since the last segment, I wrote him an email and I detailed what I was going to be returning to him because I had bought some items from him. And then I detailed the things that he had done wrong and that what that and both of those totals, the stuff that I was returning, I was going to get my money back for. And then the stuff that he had ruined, he owed me for that. And I gave him a break on that because I just want it over. Okay. And this is what trading is all about too. When you're in a losing trade, you have to make a decision if you haven't made it prior to getting into that trade, you know, what you're willing to lose on that trade to see if it's going to work. All right. Now, this relationship with this ex-jeweler now, I gave him four opportunities to rectify everything. And he chose not to. And that was over the course of 6-7 months. So all I did was just cut my loss. Wrote him an email, was very specific. This is my criteria. This is what you did not fulfill. This is what you promised. So I'm meeting it with you on Monday. You're going to bring the rest of my stuff. If you don't bring it, I'm going to have you arrested. It was very firm. There's no anger there. There's no hatred. There's nothing. It's just a business deal now. So, but my point is, it isn't about the money. What it was about was a relationship that went south. And as I said in our last segment, last week's show, rather, it affected me so much that there were a couple trading days where I shouldn't have been trading because I was thinking about this guy and I was really ticked off. I mean, really ticked off. Like, how could he take advantage of me after all the years we've, you know, been friends? And, you know, I helped his sister through an awful divorce, free of charge, you know, free counseling. And this went on for probably 8 months, not every day, but at least once or twice a week. So there was a relationship there, and he ended up taking advantage of that. And also, too, I had not set a good enough boundary. And it's the same with your trades. You have to have your boundaries in place, and they can't become a gray area. And that's what had happened with this jeweler and I, was that my boundaries had become a gray area, and he stepped in and took advantage of that, slowly and subtly. But, you know, took me about 6-7 months to figure it out, but I did figure it out. So it's no different with your trades. You have to have specific criteria for getting into a trade, getting out of a trade, how much you're willing to risk, and how little in profit you are willing to take on any given trade to turn around then and put on your next setup. These are strict boundaries. You can call them rules. You can call them whatever word you want, but I'm calling them boundaries because a lot of times when we use the word rules, it kind of ruffles our feathers a little bit because we all grew up with rules, okay? You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, you got to do this, you got to do that. And, you know, a lot of that rubbed us the wrong way, especially when we were younger, because I believe that all of us are born creative and that creativity is basically untaught us by our teachers, parents, siblings, anybody else in authority, because we have to follow by the rules. So it's the same idea as the word discipline. And this is why I go over terminology with traders so extensively, because everybody thinks, okay, yeah, you have discipline. Yeah, you go to the gym, you work out, you know, you got discipline to do your reps or, you know, be on the treadmill for 5 miles or whatever your discipline is to work out and feel good. And you think, well, that word still applies to trading. Well, it doesn't necessarily apply to trading because discipline is not necessarily a positive feeling based on things we have to do. Now, for myself, and I know I've talked to countless other traders, there's lots of times where we don't want to go work out. We don't, and we may even be annoyed about having to go to the gym to work out. And maybe the first 5 or 10 minutes, it's like, oh, I don't even know if I can stay on the treadmill. I don't know if I can do another rep on the weights. But once we get into it and our brain assimilates, like, yes, we're in it for a good cause. then we're in it, and then we can finish our workout, and then when we're done, we feel great, right? It's no different with your trading. So you may not feel comfortable getting into a trade because you think, I have to be disciplined to put on every valid trade. I have to be disciplined to follow my rules. So now you got two words that have less than positive definitions based on other areas of your life. Now, having discipline as a trader, yeah, you need that. But it has to be a positive approach. You have to look at it and say, yes, I am so disciplined, I never move my stops. And I'm really proud of that. I am so disciplined that I get out of a winning trade or out of a losing trade according to my risk ratio every single time. And I'm really proud of myself for that. I have discipline because I take profit every single time it makes itself available to me. And that's awesome because I am becoming a warrior trader, creating dominion with my profit taking. Now, see, that's a positive approach to the word discipline. And it's the same with rules, the word rules. So my suggestion is, stop using discipline and rules because they're overrated and they're overused and they're really redundant because nobody really believes in them anyway. And just start using the word boundaries. Right? It's real simple. What's a boundary? It's a fence, right? A boundary is a state line. A boundary is where the ocean meets the land. That's not anything negative. It's a fact. It is an absolute. So try thinking about that in the coming days and the next week or so. Try talking about setting up your boundaries versus having discipline and following your rules. How about recognizing your boundaries and believing in those boundaries? That would be a much more positive approach. At least to my suggestion, that's what I use. I can only say it to you guys. You do with it what you will. But that's the first part of our segment today. So hold that thought, and we will be back after a break. Okay, so getting back to the example about the jeweler that didn't have any integrity with me this past year, I'm going to give you an example from our coaching career. I know Mark has mentioned the name Robert St. John, and I've mentioned it as well. He's pretty much legendary in terms of floor traders at the Board of Trade. He probably was and will always remain one of the best T-bond traders ever at the Board of Trade. And I'm serious about this, guys. He was just absolutely so incredibly adept at trading. It was a joy to watch him. Literally, I would just leave the office and go down on the trading floor and watch him in action. It was absolutely, it was just incredible. I can't even put it into words. Robert came to us in the early 1990s because he was over trading. And I believe he double or triple mortgaged his house. He really got stuck with some losing trades. For those of you that are not familiar with floor traders back then, there would be, you know, two sides to every trade. There'd be, you know, a trader selling. And they would be in this big area on the trading floor, and they would point to each other and say, okay, I'm buying at such and such a price, and You know, the trader he's looking at would say, okay, I sold you such and such at a price. And they would write it down on cards. This was all before any electronic devices were allowed in the trading pits. Okay, now the whole, of course, the exchanges are run electronically, but inside the trading pits, it was still on paper. And I know you guys listening to this are thinking, oh my God, that's ridiculous. Well, that's just where technology was at the time, guys. Okay, we're talking the 1980s, early 90s, really up until the late 90s. And there was also federal and state regulations prohibiting personal electronic devices of any type at that time being in the pits, because that would give a trader an advantage over another trader, because he could be listening on his radio, and this was before cell phones too really took off. He could be listening on his radio and hear a market report, or a broker could tell him something, and that would give him an edge. And that was strictly prohibited. All right. There was a lot of regulations back then that made it fair to have open outcry. That's what it's called, open outcry. So Robert was excellent as a trader, and by 11, 12 o'clock each day, he had usually made anywhere from $150,000 to $500,000, literally. This is on a daily basis. You know, but the problem is that he loved trading so much, instead of walking away with the profit, you know, he'd run to the men's room, you know, grab a cup of coffee and go right back into the trading pit before the close and lose almost all of it back, if not lose all of it and more. Now, part of the reason was he was addicted to trading. And this is something that you guys know about yourselves. Not going to name any names here, but you know, those of you that are addicted to trading, when you cannot stop trading, when you think, oh, I have to be in the market all the time to make money. You all know that that's not true. But the other part of the equation for Robert was the traders on the other side of his trades knew that he would never argue if they said they made profit and the trade went against him. He was a pushover. And I'm not being mean about this, guys. He was just too nice of a guy. So at the end of the day, they'd go to settle up, and these other traders or brokers would say, oh, no, I sold it to you at this price. Or, oh, I bought it at this price. And even though Robert had written something else down, a different number down, the point is he always gave in. So he was an easy mark. And so that's where he was at when he came to us. And it took us, I'd say, 6 months to a year to get him to stop trading by noon each day. And when he started doing that and just realizing how much he was over trading and how much he was being taken advantage of by all these other traders, when it really sunk in, he had no problem walking away with his profit every single day. So my point being is that he had to deal with a lot of traders he considered his friends. A lot of traders that came to his house, a lot of traders he took out to dinner and, you know, bought, you know, gifts for their families, you know, spent a lot of money on these guys. And these guys were screwing him over on the other side of trades on purpose. Now, it's just the nature of the business. But also, they were doing it because they were jealous of his ability to take the types of money, the amounts of money that he could and did almost every single day. That would be really hard for any trader to see someone standing across from them and knowing how much they're making, because everybody in the trading pit know, you know, you're going to know how much somebody's making just because you're watching them and you're right in there. Not like today. It would be hard if another trader had never even taken 50 grand out of the market a day, and you're watching somebody who's so good at trading and so smart and has a head for numbers, as Robert St. John did, and being able to take $500,000 out. It would be hard not to try and stick it to him. It's just human nature, okay? So my point is, Robert had to resolve in his mind that that's exactly what was happening. And so that's why it took him almost a year to really settle in to just trading, you know, 2 to 3 hours a day. And we literally, and I know I've said this before, we literally had to, you know, page him on the trading floor. And even a couple times, Mark went down there and went on the trading floor and said, get your ass out of the pit, you know, to bring the message home that these other traders are not your friends. They're just other traders. So I'm bringing this up because I'm hoping that this will help you understand a little more clearly what I was talking about last week. My example just happened to be about a jeweler, okay? This example today is about traders, but it's no different. It's all about if you have a relationship or relationships that are not beneficial to you in any way, shape, or form, and it's bothering you to any percent, it's going to affect your trading. Just like this jeweler affected my trading. Now, again, I didn't lose a lot of money, but I lost, period. And that just told me, stop trading until you resolve this with this guy, which I'm doing on Monday. Hopefully, he will have integrity and show up with a check, a certified check. And if he doesn't, well, then that's okay. I'll just take him to court. But the bottom line is that relationship for me has to be cleaned up because now it's just business. So think about the relationships in your life and just overall, you know, which ones do you think are conducive to you helping you create your dominion of profit taking? And which ones aren't? And the ones that aren't as conducive, just, you know, sit down with a pad of paper and say, gosh, you know, why don't I think this person, you know, why do I think this person is interfering with my focus of my trading? Just write down your answers. The first thing that comes to your brain. It could be something as simple as, oh, they call me during trading hours, or they text me during trading hours. It could be something that simple. All right? Doesn't have to be anything major. I mean, it can be, but usually it's little things. So just keep that in mind, guys, all right? Because this is what you have to think about to be able to take profit at any given moment. And if you got this other stuff in the back of your brain running around in the background, you know, that's like having 15 windows open on your computer. You're not looking at all the other 14, but you know they're there. It's no different with your brain. So try and clean up, before we start this new year, try and clean up any other relationships that, to whatever degree, are interfering with your focus to take profit and keep it. And if you need help on this, you know where I'm at. You can give me a call. You can set up the introductory call. You know, send me an email, and we can go from there. All right, because this is really key to you becoming a warrior trader and having the mindset of a winner. Trust me. Keep in mind, William Wallace, the movie Braveheart. We went over this, okay? I want you to be a warrior like that. All right, we'll be back after the break.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on a Higher Power.
Okay, now, with that said, if you ever have any questions, guys, you know, like I said, you know, you can shoot me an email and ask them, but you got to keep in mind, this is what I do for a living, okay, coaching, all right? So don't write me and ask me questions that are in the guise of a workshop. Okay, or you know, a set of coaching sessions. And I know I said this, you know, in past shows, but don't, I mean, here's a good example. You know, how do I become a winning trader? Oh, okay. That's a good one. Okay. Gee, I don't know. How do you? Will you really expect me to answer that in an email? That doesn't even make any sense because you're not thinking about what you're asking. So now the kind of questions you can ask, say, well, hey, you know, I'm having a little trouble with the exercise and trading in the zone. Can you explain that a little further? Okay, that's a good question. That doesn't entail a paid session. That's just something, you know, I'll explain. However, there's a lot of you out there that after I've written the explanation, you will write back with the same question about the exercise, just phrased with different words. The question is still the same because you didn't read my answer. You didn't read my answer because you don't even know what you're asking. So when I talk about teaching traders how to think, that's what I mean, guys. And I know a lot of you don't appreciate what I say because you let me know. And you're like, well, you know, I already know how to think. I have a trading account. I have a system. I have trading rules. Okay. So if you know how to think and you have all that, then why are you contacting me? Because you have a fear of losing. You've blown up your account 3 times. You do revenge trading. You have negative self-talk. You can't hold on to a winner, but you have no problem holding on to losers. So if you can actually think about what you're doing as a trader, then how come you still have trading errors? Now I'm busting your chops here a little bit, guys, because you don't know what you're thinking because you haven't done the mental work necessary. Now, do you think Mark and I just made all this crap up? No, we didn't. All of our materials, which are empirically proven by sustained evidence for the last 30 years, by being all-time best-selling books on Amazon, as well as being translated into 15 languages, and you guys wouldn't be pirating or looking for our material for free if you didn't think it was worthwhile. So don't email me with the attitude of, yeah, well, you know, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, because you already know it does. The bottom line is you don't want to do the work that you need to do to fix yourself. And that's it, guys. You have not made an investment in yourself. And you want to know why? It's real simple. You guys send an email, and like I said, unless it's a real complicated question, I have no problem taking time out of my trading day, taking time out of a day I may be writing a new book, taking time out of coaching other traders to write you back. And 9 times out of 10, what do I get in return? Nothing. Not a thank you. Not a, oh, wow, that really helped. Or the best one is, you write back and you ask the same question again, in different words. So you're not even paying attention to what I wrote to begin with. So why should I waste my time? Seriously, I don't, most people wouldn't even respond. And I don't do that now. When you write back and ask the same question, I don't respond anymore because there's no point. All you want is someone to hold your hand. And there's just about every other trading coach out there is happy to do that. But they are happy to do it for a minimum of 6 to 12 paid coaching sessions. So good luck with that. And again, I'm busting your chops because you are not being respectful to yourself. You are not allowing yourself to become the best trader you can be. I don't get it. If you're asking a question, and guys, most of your questions are good questions. And the ones that, you know, aren't too complicated, like I said, I am happy to answer in an email. No problem. And yet, you don't want to do what I tell you to do. And everything, any kind of exercise that I give anyone, is an exercise for right now. Doesn't mean you're going to have to do it forever. These are exercises on learning how to pay yourself like a trader. You know, taking 20-25% of profit out of your account each month and putting it aside where you can't wire it back in. So then at the end of the next month, now you see, oh, wow, I got this money over here. I actually paid myself. And you want to know how many of you guys ever do that? About 1%. 1%. Because you go on the internet and you listen to these anonymous goofballs, and in a lot of cases, charlatans, and they say, oh no, you got to leave all your profit in your trading account so you can trade bigger. Yeah, you can do that after you know how to think, after you have focus, after you have a business plan for your trading. Not a trading plan, but a business plan. You can't just leave your profit in your trading account when you haven't even proven if your edge works. My goodness, who teaches that? Who suggests that? But you're going to come back and tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, okay, that's your prerogative. Good luck with that forward, because you will never be the winner that you dream of. That's a fact. Sorry to break it to you guys, but that's the way it goes. So my long-winded point in this segment is, if you ask me a question and I respond, why not be a little respectful and just say thank you? Just, you know, send an email back. T-Y, thank you. Okay? It would be really nice if you did that, because that would spur me on to continue to write people back. But the less and less that happens, you know, it's like, why should I? Why should I? Well, think about the last time somebody said thank you to you. You probably really enjoyed that, didn't you? Made you feel good, didn't it? And yet 99% of you guys can't do that to me. I don't know how you're doing it, and if you're doing it to anybody else, but I know you're just not doing it to me. It's disrespectful. It's rude. It shows you have a lack of manners. But more importantly, it just means you don't believe in yourself. So forget about how I'm feeling. What it shows me, and that's the sad part, is you don't believe in you. If you can't give anybody a simple thank you, someone you asked for information, for help from, that means you don't believe in them, because you don't want to hear what they have to say, and you don't believe in yourself to do whatever they may tell you to do. That's the way it works, guys. That's one of the reasons that Mark's no longer with us. Got tired of being taken advantage of. It broke his heart. I'm not as sensitive as he is, so I'm just going to bust your chops about it. But, you know, bottom line is, you got to start taking care of yourself. If you truly want to be a winning trader day in and day out, then start taking care of your thoughts, your beliefs. Start understanding who you are as a trader. Not in any other area of your life, just as a trader. That unique mindset, that unique set of mental skills that you need to instill to become that warrior trader. You know it's inside of you. I know it's inside of you, but I can't make it happen. I can't make it appear. Only you can manifest that warrior mindset and create dominion with your profit taking. I can't do it for you. I can give you the skills. I can give you the technicals, but you have to do the work. And a real simple way to get started is just by saying thank you when I send you an answer. You still don't have to do what I tell you to do, but just that simple act of saying thank you. Now that goes into your brain that you respected what I said. Whether or not you're going to take advantage of it, that's a different story. That's for another show. But the point is, now you've created a file folder, let's say, in your brain that you respected my expertise. The seed has been planted. And so maybe during a trading day, you know, you might remember what I wrote, and that might come in handy. And you're going to be very thankful that you wrote a thank you to me. Again, just the two letters, T-Y. Because you're going to be grateful, because now you can move forward taking more and more profit. This is why I offer the introductory call, guys, because that may be all you need. I'm not like any of the other coaches out there. I don't think anybody needs 6 to 12 to 24 or 2 years worth of coaching. I don't believe that. I believe you could have one session with me and go on your merry way and become a multi-million dollar trader. I believe that because I know what's happened. Sometimes you just need validation, folks, okay? I'm here to validate you. I'm not here to hold your hand. As I said earlier, I'm here to validate you for how far you've come so far and to encourage you to go to even greater lengths and greater profit and greater wealth. That's my passion. That's my mission. It always has been, just like Marx was, and it continues to this day and goes forward. That's what the new age of trading psychology is all about. I'm here to encourage and support you to realize your trading dreams. And they can come true if you're willing to listen to yourself and invest in you. Okay? All right, we'll be back after the break. This last segment of today's show, I want to talk a little bit about the disciplined trader before we head into the holidays. I know I mentioned that we are in the process of trying to update the book. The publisher has agreed to allow me to make some updates. Yay! Hallelujah! After all these years of begging and pleading and demanding and crying. So I have a deadline of January 5th. So if I sounded a little distracted tonight, I should have prefaced the show with that, but it's because I'm furiously working on trying to get this to the updates to the Disciplined Trader back to the publisher before January 5th. If I don't do that, then they're just going to reprint the outdated version. So please bear with me. If I'm not clear this week and next week show, if we have a show next week, I think we're having one next week. Just be patient or send me an email and say, hey, I wasn't quite sure what you said. Okay. So one of the main reasons that I want to update the Disciplined Trader is because number one, and I know I'm repeating myself, but not everybody listens to the show all the time. So the Disciplined Trader was written primarily for floor traders in the late 1980s. It was published in 1990, and you know, it was a bestseller right off the bat because it was the only book talking about trading psychology. And as I've mentioned previously, Mark and I coined that phrase, trading psychology. There was no such term. So it took a long time for the investment world to embrace the notion that you needed a mental strategy. And one of the reasons is the way Mark wrote a lot of the book. You know, it took us a while to write this book because I did not agree with Mark's writing style. Now, some of you know who've attended our workshops or had coaching sessions, Mark never liked to write. He hated writing. I didn't know that when I met him, but I found out when we started writing The Disciplined Trader just how much he did not like to write. And so a lot of his frustration at feeling compelled to write this book with me came out in his words, in the book. And so recently there was a testimonial or a review on Amazon from a trader in another country. And he stated how traumatic it was for him to get through the book, The Disciplined Trader. He said, but once I got through it and got on the other side, I realized the message. And my trading has turned around as a result. And he was very grateful. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. Because in the book, Mark talks about psychological damage and, controlling your emotions and, just not very positive terms. Okay. And so what I decided to do was kind of just go back and make it a little softer, because I realized, why Mark was so strong in his approach in that first book, because we were about halfway through it. And I said, this is really harsh. It's like almost like you're beating people up and telling them how hard it's going to be. And he goes, well, it is hard. It is hard. I said, yeah, I know. I know it's hard. You know it's hard, but we don't have to make it so hard that they don't want to read the book. And that's when he told me that he really hated writing. So Mark had a mental and emotional conflict writing this book because he hated writing. And a lot of that stems from his childhood and some comments that were made to him by family members that injured him. And so I think there was a lot of degree that he wasn't sure he was up to the task of writing the book. There were a lot of times when he wanted to give up, and he's clearly told countless people that if I hadn't been there working with him and writing the book together, it would never have gotten done. So he did say that when he was in high school, if he had a class where he had to write a story or a speech or something, he would ask one of his classmates, one of the girls in his classes, to write it for him. Now, that was easy for him to do because he was in two bands. So they were like, oh, the drummer in our school band, he wants, me to do this. So, and when he went to Michigan State, if he had a class that required writing, he would drop it. Now, when he went to Kemper Military School, that's when he really learned the benefits of putting your thoughts down on paper. So I'm just sharing this that the updated version of The Disciplined Trader will be a little less hammering on the reader. And I think you'll enjoy it. There's still all that great information in there, a little more updated, but it'll just be a little more less technical of a read in terms of the strength of his words. And and it's not just me saying that. We attempted to do this before he even passed away. So just bear in mind, if you can hold off again until February to get a copy of the book, it's going to be really great. But in the meantime, you can get a copy of the Kindle because it's already there. So I just want to share that for those of you that don't necessarily like The Disciplined Trader compared to Trading in the Zone, because that was more of a conversational style, the second book, I get it. And I agree with you. And so I'm going to do my best to make it a little more of a conversational style for those of you who want, you know, might like to pick it up. So, again, if you have any questions, comments, you can go to my website, paulatweb.com. Give me a call, 760-636-4290 Pacific Standard Time. And I'm going to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah this coming week. And I wish you all good things and all good blessings. And we will talk to you soon.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.